Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever." We began last Lord's Day a series on this subject of Mary's Magnificat. We looked at the background of this. I want to kind of bring to our forefront what I think is the chronology here that is happening. And we noted, in short, last Lord's Day, that in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, you actually have the annunciation by the angel Gabriel to her that she was going to have a child. She was going to be a virgin giving birth to the Messiah. And we noted that immediately afterwards, she hears this declaration of the promises being fulfilled. If you look down in verse 38, she responds to that by saying, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to the city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And so what we have here is Mary actually acting upon the angel's, I'm just going to say, hint. He didn't tell her to go to Elizabeth, did he? But he did bring up Elizabeth to her, and that she was in her sixth month. You'll see that in verse 36 of this chapter. And that she had conceived a child in her old age, which immediately would draw us to what woman? Sarah. To Sarah in her giving birth to the promised one, Isaac. And so Mary leaves pretty much immediately, and I take that because it says she was in a hurry. I don't think that necessarily means that she left that very minute. It probably meant she gathered her things together. She would have had to notify whoever she needed to notify there to know that she was leaving. But she departed pretty much immediately, and it would have taken a couple of days for her to approach Elizabeth's house and to greet Elizabeth. How long did she stay with Elizabeth? Well, the Bible says in verse 56 that Mary stayed with her about how many months?
3.
About 3 months. And then she returned back to her home city. And folks, I think at this point, I think we're safe to say that Mary, having left immediately, would not yet have told Joseph of her pregnancy. So she goes and stays with Mary, kind of with Elizabeth, in isolation for like 3 months. Then she returns back. Now I want you to turn to the only other record that we really have of Mary and Joseph and the dealings here with Christ as a child, if we would turn to Matthew chapter 1. The book of Mark starts out with John the Baptist preaching and Jesus being baptized. John does mention that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, but again, it pretty much starts with John's preaching and John seeing Jesus come and say, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." But in Luke, we have an extended exposition of his conception and birth. And in Matthew, we have that. Now note in verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. Now note the context. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together. Now, in the Jewish system of marriage, you would actually have an agreement among the parents and an agreement with the daughter to actually be betrothed to a Jewish man. That betrothal, usually, there was a range here, was usually somewhere around 12 or 13 up to 16 years of age. And we made mention that we have a teenager here that's 14. And so if you look at her and think Mary, you can get an idea on how young she would have been. But she was betrothed to Joseph, and usually they were, as it were, legally married, but not living together in consummation of that marriage. That would come sometime approximately a year later. So was she betrothed to Joseph? The answer to that is yes. They had not yet consummated that marriage. They had not yet come together, that is, to live together as husband and wife. But she had given her promise, and he had given his promise to her. So she's betrothed to Joseph. Look at verse 18 again. Before they came together, she was... Now what's the word here? Found. Everybody see that word? Okay. She was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. She was discovered. She was found out. So Joseph, I don't think, knew during those first 3 months that Mary was with Elizabeth. But now, having come back, in around 3 months, she would have begun to have a showing that she was with child somewhere around that time. We don't know exactly if it was at 3 months or 4 months, but sometime in that time, it was discovered. In other words, it was avoidably, unmistakably, she was with child. It was found this out, and Joseph was concerned about this. Verse 19. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away. The word there is to divorce. He planned to divorce her secretly. Why? He did not want to what? He did not want to publicly shame her. Now, when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child, does she have a child? Yes. The child who has been conceived in her was not through another man, but it was by who? By the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, and she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And the reason why you call his name that is because he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken of the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which translated means God what? God with us. Now note verse 24. Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name what? In other words, folks, if there was normally, as we turn back to the book of Luke, if there was normally a year or so involved in this, and we don't know the exact time frame, after Joseph had this dream and the angel of the Lord spoke to him and commanded him to take her as his wife, he immediately did what? They immediately had, as it were, a marriage ceremony, and they were husband and wife. They were living together, and he immediately did that. So we don't know, was it 3 months, was it 4 months since she was pregnant with Jesus? We don't know, but it would have been early, and part of that was to keep her from being publicly shamed, although she did come to be publicly shamed for this. So everybody kind of get the chronology here, because sometimes the Christmas story and the little drummer boy and all this that you read on television isn't correct, okay? It's a great Christmas story, little drummer boy. I love to watch it until he gets favor from God by works. Then I don't like it, okay? But I love the little drummer boy, but it's not scriptural, okay, what is going on here. And so as we go back to Luke, and here's Mary hearing this announcement. She leaves in a hurry to Elizabeth's residence. She enters into the courtyard of that house, and she greets Elizabeth. It would be something like shalom, or peace be unto you, or we in English, it would be hello, how you doing? This is Mary, greetings to you. And immediately upon hearing that greetings, Luke chapter 1 and verse 41, the baby that Elizabeth had, which was how old?
6 months
old, leaped in her womb, and Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit. And we talked about that this was no just some common, ordinary baby moving in the womb type of experience. This baby leaped, as it were. It sprung in joy upon this experience of Mary hearing the greetings, Elizabeth hearing the greetings of Mary. And we speculated that this was probably when not only was Elizabeth filled with the Holy Spirit, but possibly who else was filled with the Holy Spirit? The baby. We don't know his name yet. It hasn't been given. It's just the baby. But we know the baby's name is John. And Elizabeth burst out with three blessings. Look at verse 42. Blessed are you among women. Secondly, blessed is the fruit of your womb. And thirdly, verse 45, blessed is she who believes. In other words, here's this woman, God favored among women. Here is this woman who is going to bring forth the Messiah. God favored is your womb, the fruit of your womb. And then God favored is the one, verse 45, who believes that there will be a fulfillment of what is spoken to her by the Lord. Mary herself is God favored because she responded to the announcement with full persuasion that God was able and had the ability and would do exactly what the angel announced to her that the Lord would do. And folks, you can imagine, if you just take a pause and meditate on this just for a few moments and to think, what would Mary's thoughts have been as she has seen these events? An angel entering into her home evidently would have looked like an ordinary man, entered into her home, made this announcement from the Lord. She yields to that, learns that Elizabeth, who is now aged, is also pregnant, goes to Elizabeth, beholds this. She sees that Zacharias is mute because he did not believe, right? She's hearing all of these things, and then finding 3 months later a slight show of her womb that she really is what? She really is pregnant. And she knows that she has not been with a man, right? Now, ladies, I want to ask you, what would you think about all that? I think it would have been amazing. Right? Amazing to see the Lord working in such fashion. And folks, she is going to explode, as we read for our scripture here. she is going to literally explode in a scriptural exaltation in the Lord for his mighty acts among the children of men. And truly, it will be a Magnificat. Now, folks, what we're looking at here in this Magnificat, I have it divided up in several sections. In verses 46 through verse 49, what you will see is Mary rejoicing in God's actions toward her. And you'll see that. My soul is exalts. My spirit is rejoicing because he has had regard for me. All generations are going to count me blessed. The mighty one has done great things for who? For me. This is God's actions toward her. Then what you're going to see broadly in verses 49 through 54 is God's actions toward all mankind. And you'll see that, verse 50, his mercy is upon generation after generation to what kind of people? People who fear him. He has done mighty things. He has scattered people. He has brought down rulers. He has exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy. All this is God's actions toward not just Israel, but to Israel and all mankind. This is how God works among the children of men. And folks, Mary understood those things. And then lastly, in verse 55, what you have is an account of this fact that God is faithful in his actions, is he not? He does exactly what he says that he will do. And so you have this exaltation, this spirit rejoicing in all of these things. Now, what I want to do this morning is I want to speak in three ways very broadly about this explosion of joy that Mary gives to Elizabeth that we are privy to be able to hear. And then I want to conclude with three things in which God's actions are specifically toward Mary. So first thing I want to bring out in a very broad way is there is a close connection between verses 46 through 55 with Hannah's song of thanksgiving in 1 Samuel chapter 2. In fact, both of those songs, both of those exaltations of thanksgiving, begin the same way. Hannah, as you recall, did not have a child. And she goes to the temple and she's greatly distressed about this. And she prays with great distress and sorrow. And the Bible says that her lips were moving in prayer, but there was no words coming out of her mouth. And Eli thought that she was a what kind of woman? He thought that she was drunk. And Hannah says, no, I am not drunk. My soul is in distress. And she shares some of what she prays to the Lord. And what she had prayed to the Lord is that if you would give me a man-child, I would dedicate him to you all the days of his life. And Eli says, go, for the Lord has heard you. Did God give her a son? And his name is Samuel. And did she dedicate it to the Lord? She did. And she starts off her exaltation this way, my soul exalts in the Lord. Just like Mary begins her exaltation. And brethren, what you're going to find here in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55, is that what you're going to find is that this whole exaltation of joy and thanksgiving is saturated with the Scripture. Someone has said to me that Mary was so permeated with the Scripture that in these few verses, and I counted them, the cross references in my New American Standard, I did not look them all up, I've done that before in the past, and then I got out the King James Version translation of the Bible and I looked at those references that were there, that within these few verses, there are 14 either direct quotations or allusions to the Old Testament. That's a lot, is it not? And in the King James Version, they have 17 cross-references to the Old Testament. And folks, what that lets us know is not only is there a close connection with Hannah's song of thanksgiving in 1 Samuel chapter 2, but Mary's whole explosion of exaltation and joy is all full of the words of God. What does that tell us about Mary? Folks, it tells us that Mary, even at around 14 years of age, was so familiar with her Bible. And remember, they didn't carry around scrolls in everybody's houses, right? She had given undistracted attention to the preaching in the synagogue. Maybe she had gotten some instruction from Zacharias, her relative. But she had given herself, as a young age of 14 years old, for her soul to be permeated, baptized, fully immersed in the Old Testament prophecies. So that when that fullness of joy occurred, she didn't have to say to herself, now let me write down something scriptural so that I can say to Elizabeth when I greet her. It just came out of her. Amen? It just came out of her because it was in her soul. I find it amazing, and I'm reading between the lines here, but I find it amazing that of all the things, you know, when the angel announced to her, you're going to bring forth a child, she didn't say, now could you give me a scripture for that? Why not? She already knew the prophecy. She didn't say, well, you know, I had my plans. You know, I was going to go to college and I was going to do this and now you're interrupting my life with a virgin birth. Did she do that? That would have happened today. She didn't ask where it was in the Bible. I'm sure those scriptures and more came into her mind. But what she did want to know wasn't this. Could God give a virgin a child? Yes. What she wanted to know is the exact thing that every woman in here would want to know. How is this going to happen? Right, ladies? Would you not want to know? You know it's going to be a virgin birth. How does that happen? It wasn't unbelieving like Zacharias, who was unbelieving, that he says, now give me a sign that really what you said really is going to happen. Mary wasn't asking that. She just wanted to know, like, how this was going to happen. J.C. Ryle wrote, Mary was so moved by the Holy Ghost to break forth into praise, she chooses language which the Holy Ghost had already consecrated and used. That's what prayer is. That's what it means to be reflective of the text. That's what it means to be so saturated that it is just part of who? It's part of you. It's not like, okay, we're in just a few moments, you're to stand before us, and we want you to quote John 3:16. And you get up, okay, John 3:16, 4:4:4:4. Okay, for God so loved the world. And we say, oh, aren't they full of Scripture? No, it's when it is spontaneously coming out of you. Amen? That's how you know the Scripture has gotten in you. This is what it means, brethren, when the Bible says, let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you. Did you hear that? Was the words of the Scripture richly dwelling in Mary? It was. How old was she? Was she a 55 mature woman who's been reading her Bible for 50 years? She was around what age? And that would be a great standard for our young teenagers to hold themselves to. And when the Word of Christ richly dwells within you, what comes out of this is all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to the Lord. Isn't that what this is? Is she thankful? Is she expressing it? Are we reading it? And is it not edifying us? That's exactly what the Scripture text is telling us. So first of all, there is a close connection between this exaltation of thanksgiving with Hannah, and it is a Magnificat full of thanksgiving. And it is this. It is a Magnificat with a woman who is full of humility. Folks, has it occurred to you that Elizabeth was the elder and Mary was the younger, but who had more honor? The younger. Do you hear what the Scripture is saying to us? I mean, folks, if we would have been picking somebody, we would have said, you know, Zacharias is a priest. He's pretty versed in the Scripture. Elizabeth's been wanting a child. She'll have the Messiah. And then Mary could come and give birth to John, and it would have been exactly that way. And the elder, who does deserve honor because she is the elder, right? Would even receive greater honor. But it was the exact opposite. And folks, this is amazing because Elizabeth was a righteous woman. She too was God favored. But when she sees Mary, her little, as it were, 14-year-old relative, she says, you are the blessed one. You are the honored one by God. It is my Lord that's in your womb. Do you hear that? It's the elder subjecting herself to the younger, but the younger isn't exalting herself over the elder. How do I know that? Because look at verse 48. For he has had regard for the humble state of his what? Everybody see that word bondslave? Look at verse 38 of this chapter. And Mary said, behold the what of the Lord. Folks, that word bondslave in the Greek is just translated slave. And when you think slave, biblically, don't think American type of slavery. And the word is feminine. Mary did not see herself as someone who ought to be chosen. She saw herself as a female slave to the who? The Lord. Everybody see that? And this is part of her. We might argue that in verse 38, she premeditated what to say to the angel. Behold, the bondslave of the Lord may be done to me according to your word. But when we get to verse 48 of Luke chapter 1, we're in the middle or at the beginning of the Magnificat, and this is coming out of her spontaneously, isn't it? This is the way she saw herself. She was full of humility. And folks, what was going to happen to her was amazing. In Luke chapter 1, when she asked the question in verse 34, how can this be since I am a virgin? The Bible says that the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. Now, folks, I know you're not thinking this way, but I just need to say it because there are some people who really blaspheme God when they say that God had intimate relations with Mary. That is not what this verse is saying. This verse has mystery to it. Would you agree with that? And folks, the mystery is seen because of the word overshadow. Folks, what is an overshadow? An overshadow is like when you're out in the sun shining, right? And it's shining on you. But then a cloud comes and blocks out part of that sun. And now you have been over what? Overshadowed. This is a reference to the Shekinah glory, I believe, but I think it refers to something even more than that. I think, and this is my speculation again, I think there is a hint of a reference either directly or at least alluded to the creation of the worlds. You remember what the Bible says? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was void, right? Without form. What was upon the face of the deep? Darkness was over the face of the deep. It couldn't be an overshadow because God had not yet said, let there be light. Darkness was over the face of the deep. And listen to what it says. And the Holy Spirit hovered. Folks, there is mystery here. But what we are having here is as if God is creating something unique. Amen? Something unique. And folks, it isn't said here, but I just would infer this, that how did that conception occur? How did the material world come into being? By His Word. I would take it to mean, however that conception happened, however it was that the Son of God took on human flesh and became conceived in the womb of Mary, it was by the Word. And folks, you would have to be full of humility to submit yourselves unto the Lord, because my nature, and perhaps your nature would be, I would want to know all the details about how all this was happening, but all she needed to know was, it was the Holy Spirit, and what would be conceived in her would be called the Son of God. That's humility. And then lastly, under these broad statements, folks, verses 50 through 55 let us know that not only that Mary was well acquainted with the Scripture, she was saturated with it, she was spontaneously full of thanksgiving, she was full of humility, but Mary knew the Lord. Now follow me about what I'm about to say. She knew the Lord and the ways of the Lord. In other words, and we'll see this when we get there in a couple of weeks, when Mary read her Old Testament, she walked away with some truths about how God works in the world. In other words, folks, they just weren't stories to her. Amen. They were teaching her something not about David and how many stones he picked up. They were teaching her something about the Lord and how he worked and how he operates and how she could give him glory for all this. She knew him and knew his ways. For example, just to prime your thinking, look at verse 51. She knew from the Old Testament that he scatters those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. Now, folks, can we just take that one truth about God, and can you not see it from Genesis to Malachi? Yes or no? She knew that from the reading of her Bible. She knew the Lord. She would have gleaned this as she heard of the Old Testament scriptures being spoken of, being expounded, being read in the synagogues, and perhaps as they were quoted one among another there in her home. And she would know the account of the mighty acts of God from those scriptures. Don't you just love Mary? If I could be saturated with the Scripture as she was, that would be such a gift from the Lord. That would be God favored. Wouldn't you agree with that? Now, what had God done to her that she was so thankful for? She was amazed and full of gratitude about God's person, his acts, and his ways. And her joy and gratitude had not left from the days before when the announcement had been made to her. She says in verse 46, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my what? My Savior." Now folks, I want to quickly address her exaltations of thanksgiving by three ways. First of all, what was she doing presently? She was, verse 46, "My soul, what in the Lord? Exalts." It wasn't "my soul has exalted in the past and I'm remembering that." My soul, it's a present tense, my soul is continually exalting in the Lord for what I have heard and what I have seen. that since that angelic announcement, Mary had continual exaltation and gratitude and thanksgiving in her heart. Now, folks, I want us to know that this was not just some outward show. This wasn't just some polite formality that when you greeted somebody, you ought to exalt in the Lord. How do I know that? Well, look at verse 46 again. And I'm going to read you something that it doesn't say. My soul exalts in the Lord. Does it say that? It doesn't say my soul exalts at the Lord. Right? What is it saying about Mary's soul? Her soul was exalting in the Lord. In other words, this was part of who she is. It wasn't like, oh, my soul exalts in what the Lord did. Can I tell you about it 3 days ago? Let me tell you what the Lord did. This was her soul. This was who she is. This is part of her nature, right? My soul is exalting. My soul is not exalting in the Lord. My soul is exalting the Lord. Folks, it wasn't a show. It wasn't something that was just part of her. It was her. Everybody see that? It's a fine nuance here between saying, okay, tell your grandmother thank you for the gift. Okay? Or this is what I'm supposed to do. If someone gives me a gift, I'm supposed to express gratitude. And it could be heartfelt. But this was her soul. This was all of her. In her. Of her. This was her exalting the Lord Himself. That's what was going on when she gives this exaltation. It flowed out of her. Secondly, it flowed out of her because of something that had occurred in the past. I want you to note in verse 47... the verb is what tense? My spirit has rejoiced. Present, future, past. Past. The Lord, verse 48, for He has had regard. Everybody see that? That's past. Verse 49, the Lord has done. Everybody see that? He has done great things for her. In other words, her soul from that time of that announcement, which would have been some days, to the time that she sees Elizabeth, her soul exalts in the Lord. It's her, all of her, is engaged in this. Because what has happened is how she felt when that announcement came. She rejoiced, my spirit has rejoiced in God my... Folks, what was going to be born in her was the Savior. And the Messiah being born through her womb was evidence that God was still, I'm going to use a bad phrase, but it'll help communicate, He's still in the business of saving. Amen? If He's not in the business of saving, He's not going to give a Messiah, right? He's not going to give a Savior. But the fact that she is going to virgin birth a Savior named Jesus, who is the Son of God, is proof that God is her Savior, and she exalts in that at that moment and continually doing that. And she is exalting because, verse 48, God has had regard for her. Folks, God did not pick someone in the Roman government to do this. He did not pick the wife of the high priest. Did he? He did not even pick the wife of any lower priest. He didn't pick anybody involved in the religious system of that day. He picked a lowly, humble, nobody. Nobody. Mary was a nobody. Was she of nobility? Was she of high education? Was she making her way through the world? Was she going up the corporate ladder? The Lord picked a nobody. And she knows that's His way. And her soul exalts the Lord for this. And folks, when God saved you, He picked a nobody. Should not you exalt in the Lord? And then thirdly, here under the past, it says in verse 49, for the mighty one, the one that has the ability, the one that has the power, the one that has the strength, has done great things for who? Folks, it would take the power of God to bring about a virgin birth. It takes the power of God to bring forth a natural birth. But a virgin birth? And God did it for who? He did it for a lowly nobody. To show His power. And to show His faithfulness. Would that not cause you to rejoice? Understanding those things. And folks, you know in 1 Corinthians it says, look around your church membership. Not many mighty. Not many noble. Not many highly educated people. Nobodies. Aren't you thankful? This is the way our great God works. And she's rejoicing in that. So she's presently exalting. Her soul is fully, 100% engaged in this. Over what God has done in the past. And folks, lastly, there's going to be something in the future. I want you to note in verse 48, Mary says, behold, listen to this. From this time on, all generations will call me what? A nobody got exalted to the place on the earth where all people will remember her. And will forever remember her because she's with God, her Savior. Now, folks, when I say that from this time on all generations are going to call her blessed, I am not referring to the blasphemy of the Roman Catholic Church. Do they remember Mary? Do they call her blessed? Folks, when the Roman Catholic Church exalts Mary above what is scripturally written, they blaspheme the scripture. Do we hear that? They blaspheme God who gave us the Scripture. They blaspheme Christ. And folks, here's the amazing contradiction. And they blaspheme Mary, the one they claim to exalt. Right? What does it mean when it says, from this time on, all generations will call me blessed? Folks, would you agree with this simple statement that Mary's life changed? Whatever she had on her Franklin planner got totally upended. Whatever she had on her iPhone calendar got totally upended. And here's why they would count her blessed, because her position of giving birth to the Messiah would never again be equaled by any other woman on the face of the earth. Folks, Jewish women from the days of Eve dreamt about the privilege it would be to give birth to the Messiah. They longed for that. That was one reason why they longed for children. Mary was chosen by the Lord, and all generations afterwards would acknowledge in one fashion or another her unique privilege of being the mother of our Savior. That's why she would be God-favored. And folks, when we preach what the Scripture says about this woman, no less and no more, we are fulfilling this verse this morning. Don't you call her blessed. Now, brethren, what God did is a direct contradiction to our present culture. Our culture today would have despised Mary. She wasn't wealthy. She wasn't high nobility. She wasn't a mover or a shaker. She's a 14-year-old girl looking forward to being married to Joseph. They would despise her lack of influence. I mean, how in the world could God pick somebody that had no influence? None. How could God pick her? She had no nobility other than a lineage back to David, but that reign had fallen by the wayside a long time ago. Isn't that directly contradictory to our age? When everybody's trying to be noble and everybody's trying to have influence and everybody's trying to move up the ladder, and God picked Mary. Folks, very quickly, I want to conclude with just two applications. Mary's exaltation is directly connected to her scriptural saturation. Everybody see that? She was glad of heart because she had understanding of the text. Sometimes people say to me, Pastor, I just want to be happy. I just want to be glad. Listen to what the Scripture says concerning the Son of God. You have loved righteousness. Everybody hear that? And hated lawlessness. Therefore, God has anointed you with the oil of gladness. Do you know how to become more glad in Him? Love righteousness more and hate lawlessness more. And you will be given the all of what? Mary was exalted in her language and in her speech and in her soul because of her humble scriptural saturation. And then lastly, I think it's quite evident, and we'll see this more later, that the Lord gives grace to the humble, and He resists to the proud. Folks, a lack of gladness is not only tied to a proper love-hate, but it is possibly tied to a sin that you and I hardly understand, and that is the sin of pride. My wife and I were watching a football game the other day, and I was half watching and half listening. And the commentator talked about one of the football players. And I'm not quoting, but basically he said this. He said, "That's a great football player. He has a certain cockiness about him that makes him a good player." And I thought, did you hear that? The world is saying he'll be a good player because he's prideful. That's what the world communicates to us. And the church should be communicating the exact what? The exact opposite. It's amazing that Mary would say, "May it be done to me according to your word." Truly, Mary was a sinner, as we all are. But she was God-favored. Blessed be Mary. Let's pray.